For 45 years, people have relied on Village Green Apothecary to give them individualized nutrition, pharmacy, and healthy living products. Village Green will give you the kind of person-to-person help and attention that mass-market pharmacies have long ago forgotten. You can depend on us for knowledge, experience, product selection, and a smile. Visit Village Green in Bethesda at 5415 West Cedar Lane. Call us at 301-530-0800 or check out our website at myvillagegreen.com. We're here to help you.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to the Essentials of Healthy Living here on AM 1500 Federal News Radio, brought to you by the Village Green Apothecary. I am your host for today, Dr. Kevin Passero, and my wonderful co-host, Dana Lake, will be returning next week. We're here every Sunday from 10 to 11 a.m., bringing you topics related to health and wellness every single week. We've been doing this show for over 3 years now, and we've accumulated a wealth of information here. And it's all accessible to you. If you want to listen to any of our previously recorded shows, please go to www.myvillagegreen.com. On the right-hand side of the homepage, you will see a little radio microphone. If you click on that, it'll take you to our archive show section. Now, just recently, myself and some of the other staff members at Village Green went back and reviewed every single show that we've done over the last 3 years and picked out our absolute favorites. These are the best guests. These are the best interviews. These are the most useful shows in getting you useful and pertinent information regarding health and wellness, and we put it under our favorite section. So this is a great way to go back and listen to these shows. You can download them and listen to them for absolutely free. Now, today, of course, our show is no exception. We're going to be bringing you a really great topic. Today, we're talking about diabetes. And diabetes, as we know, is a major problem in our country today. Type 2 diabetes, rates of type 2 diabetes, which is going to be the main topic of our conversation, are skyrocketing in adults, and also, very, very scary statistic, type 2 diabetes rates are skyrocketing in children. Our children are getting diagnosed with disease, childhood obesity at very young ages, which puts them at a huge risk for encountering major health problems as they get older. So today we're going to be really breaking down what's going on with 2 type diabetes. We're going to be defining it. We're going to be explaining why it happens, who's susceptible to it, what type of lifestyle behaviors contribute to people getting it. And then, of course, we're going to be talking about the natural approaches to helping to cure it or prevent it, or to help your body have a lesser risk of developing it and helping your body deal with it and hopefully reversing it for a lot of people. Because in many instances, type 2 diabetes is a lifestyle condition. I was just talking with someone here before I came onto the air, and we were talking. I told him what I was going to be covering today. And I always bring this up to patients when I'm talking to them about the Biggest Loser, that show. Now, I'm not a huge – I don't watch it all the time, but it was a good show that I used to watch because it had health implications. And so many of the contestants that you see that come on the show when they're in the state of major obesity, they all have type 2 diabetes. By the end of the show, contestants who make it far enough and lose enough weight, their diabetes is gone and completely reverses. This is oftentimes a lifestyle-related condition, and there is a huge potential for people to be able to reverse this condition without medications and interventions if they're willing to make the lifestyle changes, which we're going to talk about today. So just like every single week that I'm on the air, I always have a wonderful special guest, and today is no exception. Amay Shunney is a naturopathic doctor and a dynamic educator, radio show host, writer, and dedicated naturopathic doctor on a mission to empower people to take charge of their health with integrative medicine. Whether she is speaking to health professionals or lay people, Dr. Shunney's engaging style, her emphasis on patient-centered care, and her passionate belief in the health benefits of joyful eating make her an audience favorite. She has lectured extensively to medical students and physicians, and she participates in teaching venues throughout the community. She also hosts her own radio show called Green Tea and Honey. It's a weekly radio show with a wonderful chef, Jennifer Brewer, that combines the host's love of food with health recommendations and culinary tips. If you're interested in listening to those podcasts, you can download them at www.greenteaandhoneyradio.com. In November of 2010, she and Chef Jenny launched Cleanse Organic. This innovative whole foods approach to detoxification is a 28-day program that combines an anti-inflammatory, hypoallergenic diet, easy-to-prepare delicious recipes, and individualized support to optimize health and create sustainable, healthy living choices. You can learn more by going to www.cleanseorganic.com. She graduated cum laude from Vanderbilt University with a BA in psychology. And after completing her postgraduate and pre-med coursework, she attended the National College of Naturopathic Medicine in Portland, Oregon, my alma mater as well, where she received her naturopathic medical degree in 2001. She's in private practice in Santa Cruz, California, where she specializes in women's health, functional endocrinology, and family medicine. In 2010 and 2011, she was voted best naturopathic doctor in Santa Cruz in the Metro Santa Cruz poll. So thank you so much for being a guest on the show with us today, Dr. Shani. Always funny to hear somebody read your bio, right?
Yes, especially such a lengthy and thorough one. Thank you.
Well, it's the one you sent over to me, so I didn't want to leave anything out. But, it was all sorts of good stuff to touch upon. So sounds like you've been doing a lot of great work, and I'm thrilled to have you on today.
Thanks. It's a pleasure to be here.
I want to start off by sort of defining the difference between type 1 and type 2 diabetes, because even people who come in to see me who have been diagnosed with a pre-diabetic or a diabetic state, they're not even 100% aware of what's going on with their body and this whole diagnosis. And if you use that term diabetes, there's just a lot of confusion, you know, who takes insulin, who doesn't take insulin. Everybody takes insulin at some time. Some people don't,
right.
And I say it's a lifestyle type of condition. I mean, if that's a huge faux pas to say for somebody who has a type 1 diabetes, for type 2, it might be applicable. So
sure.
Maybe let's explain, and I'm going to let you do it. Explain the difference between type 1 and type 2 diabetes, please.
Okay. Well, type 1 diabetes is when the beta cells in the pancreas are not making adequate insulin to be able to help the body utilize blood sugar. And this is the most simplified way I can think of describing it. Type 2 diabetes is not that the pancreas isn't making insulin, but that the insulin that the pancreas is making, the body's no longer responding to it properly. And it's been confusing, too, because I know when we were in school, it's like type 1 diabetes was synonymous with juvenile diabetes. It was something that usually came up in childhood, which obviously makes sense, right, because it would be in childhood usually when a physician would figure out that this person is not making adequate insulin and that's why they're not well, whereas type 2 diabetes, which is there's insulin, the body's just not responding to it, that's something that happens more as an adult and is usually more of a lifestyle disease, as you were discussing earlier. The other issue is insulin-dependent versus non-insulin-dependent, which is often the acronym that we're seeing more now. We don't really hear juvenile and adult onset anymore. We still hear type 1 and type 2, but a lot of times it comes down to do they need insulin or do they not need insulin. And type 1 diabetics, those that often get it as children, the beta cells in the pancreas aren't making insulin, these people will most of the time require insulin and often for their whole lives. Type 2 diabetics, folks who often get it as an adult, and again, their pancreas is making insulin, but the body just isn't responding to it, those folks may or may not need insulin depending on where they are on the continuum of blood sugar regulation. So that's something that's going to be determined by their physician.
Absolutely. Thank you for that very good description. And I think that surmises and summarizes the differences very, very well. Now, type 2 diabetics can sometimes be put on insulin, not because, well, some of them, they maybe are also have reduced output of insulin, but sometimes doctors will give them extra insulin to try and just put more in the system to increase the effect of getting the sugar into the cells and out of the blood. So
right.
Let's talk about this concept. I mean, type 2 diabetes. People who are diagnosed, there seems to be more attention to adults that can get type 1. So the death of the beta cells in the pancreas can oftentimes happen in childhood, but they can also sometimes happen in adulthood. And it's important if somebody is dealing with a diabetes type issue, especially if there's not a very clear example of somebody who's really overweight or you don't see a lot of the other factors associated
sure.
with lifestyle problems, that people figure it out. And a lot of times, it's not always figured out. I've seen people come into my office who are maybe a little bit, you know, they're not that overweight and they're maybe showing some blood sugar problems. They go to their doctor, they just sort of get interventions thrown at them and they don't really ever get proper evaluation, even sometimes from endocrinologists about what exactly is happening in their body. And there are some very easy tests or good tests that you can do to figure it out. The one that I usually recommend is called the glucose insulin tolerance test. Now, it's very common that doctors will run a glucose tolerance test, which is basically you go to the lab, they make you drink a sugar solution, and then they monitor your blood sugar for about 3 hours after, every hour for three hours after you take that blood sugar, that sugar solution, and they watch what happens to your blood sugar. It should spike, and then as insulin is released in response to that spike, the blood sugar should come back down. Well, that's great, but sometimes it's really useful to understand also what's happening with the insulin, because that can help us understand, right, Amay, that is this an issue with insulin resistance, meaning that there's plenty of insulin in the system. And sometimes when you run one of these GITTs, the insulin levels are through the roof high. So you really know that this person's body needs to be resensitized to insulin, not necessarily given more. And we understand the fundamental driving force that's creating the blood sugar imbalance versus somebody else. You may find in an older individual that their insulin levels are low. And although, you know, doctors may have been addressing it just like it was a type 2 because they're older and not juvenile, now you fully understand what's happening with that body. And for that person, they may need a little bit of extra insulin. So really kind of customizing the treatment for the actual person and really understanding the process that's going on.
Yeah, I agree. And I also agree with the need to take diabetes very seriously because it is a very damaging disease. It's the number 7 cause of death in the country. And I think a lot of people associate diabetes with a lifestyle disease that happens when you're old and when you're older and when you're heavy. And that's not necessarily the case. And when it goes undiagnosed, it can cause a tremendous amount of damage. So it should be taken very seriously.
Yeah, it really is very, very dangerous, this whole aspect of mildly elevated blood sugar and improper balance. You know, just recently they've even lowered the upper level of limit for healthy people and for diabetics for the hemoglobin A1C, which is a measure of what, you know, your average blood sugar is doing. And they did that because they're realizing that having these mildly elevated levels of blood sugar in the system can be really damaging to your body. We know that they damage certain cells in the body, particularly your blood vessels are very susceptible to damage from elevated blood sugar levels, which is why diabetics often ends up having to have their extremities or limbs amputated. The retinas are very sensitive, right?
Yes. Exactly. And you know, I don't know about you, Dr. Becerra, but I've pretty much, you know, stopped even looking at fasting glucose. I mean, to me, if I want to screen, I'm going to look at a hemoglobin A1C. And, you know, I really just recommend that my patients, you know, I don't know about where you are, but a lot of my patients will use their medical doctor to order labs sometimes because of insurance issues here in California. And so I'm always saying, make sure they get a hemoglobin A1C, make sure they get it, because they rarely order it.
Right. And this is a great test. So let's explain this a little bit so people really understand. The fasting blood sugar is the standard test that you're going to get on, let's say, a screening physical, on an annual physical. Now, you may be a healthy person, you may not really have any family history of diabetes, or you're not thinking about it, and your fasting glucose comes back normal. The hemoglobin A1C is a measurement of what's happening in your red blood cells. An elevated sugar in your bloodstream affects your red blood cells, and your red blood cells have about a 3-month lifespan. So when you're measuring the hemoglobin A1C, what you're measuring is the effect that the sugars had on your cells averaged over about a 3-month time. The fasting glucose is just this one little snapshot in time. And people may not have a problem with fasting glucose, but let's say they have a problem with they eat a meal, their blood sugar spikes, and it doesn't come back down for 3 or 4 hours like it should. That may be a precursor or a preemptive situation leading to diabetes in the future, or it may just mean that their body is under excessive amounts of stress and damage from these blood sugar issues, but it would never show up on a fasting glucose test, which is why the hemoglobin A1C is so critically important.
Absolutely.
And I would argue it's important for everyone doing regular health screenings who wants to be, you know, in optimal health. Make sure that number is low, because you can catch issues way before they ever show up or become a problem. And we understand that these blood sugar issues, as you talked about, need to be taken very seriously. We know people with diabetes have increased risk for heart disease. We know they have increased risk for certain types of cancer. So even if you don't have full-blown diabetes, the blood sugar dysregulation that can come with even minor abnormalities in blood sugar can significantly increase your risk for some of these very serious conditions. When we come back from the break, Dr. Shunney is going to be explaining to us in greater detail about insulin resistance and the basic concept of it. And she's going to be explaining to us some of the different lifestyle factors that go into developing insulin resistance in relation to your diet, in relation to your exercise patterns, in relation to your body type, and all of these other things that significantly contribute to our overall health and blood sugar regulation. So this is Dr. Kevin Passero with the Essentials of Healthy Living, and we're going to be back right after this break.
Whether you're an active baby boomer, a weekend warrior, or a professional athlete, Boron's Arnicare Gel is the perfect solution to all life's little injuries. Arnicare, which contains the healing benefits of homeopathic Arnica Montana, can be used safely to treat muscle pain, stiffness, swelling, and bruising due to minor injuries, overexertion, and surgery. The non-greasy gel has no artificial colors, perfumes, or parabens. Arnicare is also available in cream and ointment formulas. You can find Arnicare at Village Green Apothecary in Bethesda. Visit Arnicare on the web at arnicare.com.
New from Garden of Life, Vitamin Code Raw Multivitamins. They are the only raw multivitamin to include live enzymes and probiotics, amino acids, and antioxidants. They are gluten and dairy free with no soy allergens. Vitamin Code is uncooked, untreated, unadulterated, and binder free. Vitamin Code Multivitamins from Garden of Life. Go beyond vitamins and minerals. Get the code. Vitamin Code. Now available at Village Green Apothecary and online at myvillagegreen.com.
Get the one tiny pearl that delivers big acid offalus, 900% more. Get acid offalus pearls from Enzymatic Therapy. Each little pearl-shaped capsule makes a big impact, delivering up to 900% more live probiotics to the intestine than other products. This revolutionary product aids digestion, supports a healthy immune system, and is perfect for travelers who want to enhance intestinal health. This season, make sure to take the pearls that give you big acid offalus. Now available at Village Green Apothecary and online at myvillagegreen.com.
Staying mentally sharp means nourishing the mind as well as the body. That's why there's new Cognisure from Metagenics. Research shows that the active natural ingredient in Cognisure supports multiple mechanisms necessary for maintaining healthy cognition and a healthy brain as it ages. Cognisure is also easy to take in delicious, chewable chocolate tablets. Have a clear and bright future by maintaining mental capacity with healthy habits and Cognisure. Remember Cognisure for healthy brain aging support. Available through your healthcare professional and Village Green Apothecary.
Are you under a lot of stress at work? Pressure from the boss, budget cuts, impossible workloads? It can all take a serious toll on your health, but we can help. Village Green Apothecary has everything you need for a healthier lifestyle, a wide range of nutritional supplements, health-related books, and more. We've been providing customized nutrition and healthy living resources for 45 years, and we'll take the time to advise you about your unique needs. Visit Village Green Apothecary in Bethesda at 5415 West Cedar Lane, or check out our website at myvillagegreen.com.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Essentials of Healthy Living here on AM 1500 Federal News Radio. I am your host for today, Dr. Kevin Passero. We're here every Sunday from 10 to 11 a.m., so always remember to set your timer and your radio to tune in to us. If you're not able to tune in live on Sundays when we broadcast, you can also go to www.myvillagegreen.com and download any of our previously recorded shows for absolutely free. Today we are talking about diabetes, specifically type 2 diabetes. In the last segment, Dr. Shunney and myself explained some of the basic concepts around the difference between type 1 and type 2 diabetes. In this segment, Dr. Shunney, who is a naturopathic doctor, an educator, radio show host, and has a private practice in Santa Cruz, California, is on the phone with us today to help us understand some of the more natural approaches to dealing with type 2 diabetes, and also helping us understand some of the factors that lead to type 2 diabetes. Because really, Dr. Shunney, I'm sure you're going to agree with me, understanding the factors that contribute to type 2 diabetes are fundamental in helping you reverse it, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So maybe you can start talking about one of the most important lifestyle factors that relates to the development of type 2 diabetes. And that's going to be diet and what we're putting in our bodies. And this, I think, directly relates to why we see such high rates of childhood obesity and, you know, why type 2 diabetes and obesity is such a huge epidemic in our country because of the things that Americans are putting in their mouth, right? So I'm going to let you sort of start off explaining some of these concepts behind diet.
Okay, great. So, you know, there's a few different components. I mean, when you look at the standard American diet, which I'm sure you must have told your listeners over the years has the very appropriate acronym of SAD or SAD, because it is it's in a sad state of affairs. The standard American diet is, you know, generally very high in sugar and simple carbohydrates. It's very low in nutrients. It's high in fat, particularly the types of fats that we don't want to eat. So, you know, your average American is eating a diet that in so many ways is actually setting them up for diabetes. I mean, really, it's a huge setup for ourselves and for our children. Because, of course, what happens when we're eating very high calorie, low nutrient food, over time is that, you know, every time we eat, we get this influx into the body of glucose or sugar, which we need for fuel, right? And also free fatty acids, which we also need. And the idea is that we're going to hopefully be eating the right amount so that the cells get what they need to function properly. And hopefully we don't have too much left over, because when we have things left over, they get stored as fat. So basically what happens is, right now we're going to talk about blood sugar because we're talking about diabetes. The blood sugar or the glucose gets released into the bloodstream after we eat, and it needs to get into the cells. The vast majority of cells require insulin to open the door, to unlock the door so glucose can get inside and do what it needs to do. So we get a glucose spike, then we get an insulin spike, then the glucose goes in, hopefully we don't have too much left over, and the insulin returns back to baseline. This is kind of a healthy cycle. When we have lots of excessive sugar being released and coming in over time, what happens is we have way more than the cells need. Well, the cells are smart. They're not going to take a lot more than they need. So the body's going to start to try to store that excess sugar as fat. And they're going to store as much as they can until the body, that tissue says, no, thank you, I have enough too. And then you've got this excessive circulating amount of glucose or blood sugar, which is causing damage at the tissue level. And also, it's causing insulin to continue to stay high because your body goes, well, we need more insulin. We got to get more in the cells. And so the glucose stays elevated, the insulin stays elevated, and eventually the body stops listening to the insulin, because it's like your neighbor who is just making all that noise next door, which drives you crazy for many, many weeks, and then eventually it might just start to sound like white noise because you just can't listen anymore. You just sensitize to it. And that is what insulin resistance is. So you've got this elevated level of glucose coming in from the food that you're eating, which is keeping an abnormally high level of insulin, and the body just starts to dampen its response to it. I don't know if you want to add anything to that, but basically that means if we go back to what we're actually putting in our mouths, we can change that whole cycle.
Yeah, absolutely. So, and what I want to talk about is, I mean, first of all, insulin is such a powerful hormone. It is one of the most important hormones to work with regulating when it comes to achieving optimal health, because insulin has so many different factors on our system. Insulin not only signals our body, like Dr. Shunny talked about, to store excess energy as fat. So if we're consuming excess calories in foods, particularly in the forms of carbohydrates, then we're going to have lots of insulin signaling, which means we're going to have lots of signaling in the body to store that energy as fat, which is why controlling insulin levels and eating a diet that mitigates and really balances insulin output is so effective at achieving healthy body mass index.
Number two,
insulin has other roles in the body. We know that elevated insulin levels, when we're eating away, that spikes blood sugar and spikes insulin, and when we're insulin resistant and we have lots of insulin flooding into the system, insulin can trigger a lot of pro-inflammatory pathways in the body. And if we're triggering pro-inflammatory pathways and our body is existing in a state of chronic inflammation, we're going to be more susceptible to all sorts of health problems, everything from arthritis and pain conditions, because those are related to inflammation. And we also now know that many other conditions that are plaguing Americans, that are the top killers of Americans, are related in a very strong way to inflammation, such as heart disease and certain types of cancer. So insulin is a dangerous hormone. It also affects our other hormones downstream. And I know, Dr. Shinney, you're very, very good at looking at these issues globally, and we're going to talk about that. But insulin affects sex hormone levels, it affects cortisol levels, and they all affect each other. So it's a very powerful hormone that should not be underestimated. So this condition of insulin resistance and eating in a way where insulin levels are not balanced can be very dangerous. Now, I want to talk specifically about foods that affect insulin in the body, because this brings up the concept of glycemic index and glycemic load, where all carbohydrates are not created equal. You could have two different types of foods that have the same amount of carbs, but they could have a very, very different effect on what's happening with these insulin levels based on these values of glycemic index. So, Dr. Shinney, could you explain a little bit about glycemic index and sort of what I'm alluding to here?
Sure. And I think it's interesting because I think glycemic index is finally starting to mainstream. And, of course, we're on to the next thing, which is glycemic load. You know, leave it to us integrative practitioners. But basically, glycemic index was something that was created, you know, to help people understand how quickly the carbohydrate they ate was going to turn into sugar. So the glycemic index number of a food is the number that represents how quickly your blood sugar rises.
Can we back up 1 second? Can we just first explain why that's important? Like, why is it important to know that one carbohydrate might break down into sugar quicker than another?
Well, because if a carbohydrate is going to break down into sugar very quickly, then that's going to kind of spike the blood sugar and drop it back down. And so you get this kind of roller coaster with your blood sugar and with your insulin. And if you're eating that kind of food all the time, that sets you up into a cycle that's not going to help you have balanced, attenuated, or nicely drawn out and sustained glucose response. If something has a lower GI number, lower on the glycemic index, that usually indicates that there's more fiber in it, or more good quality fat, more protein, and basically it's going to draw out that glycemic response, which is going to give you a longer, more sustained source of energy, and it also is going to help with that whole glucose-insulin roller coaster.
Exactly. So thank you so much for explaining that. Something that has a higher glycemic index, it spikes your blood sugar faster, just like Dr. Shinney talked about. The faster your blood sugar spikes, the more your body will react by releasing insulin, right? We have established clearly that elevated levels of sugar in the blood are bad, right? It damages our blood vessels. It damages the retinas of our eyes, our kidneys. Our body doesn't like it. So if you get a flood of sugar into the system and this rapid spike in blood sugar, your body responds with a rapid spike in insulin. The more the body is seeing insulin, the more it will develop tolerance or resistance to it. So that's why glycemic index is so important, right, Dr. Shinney?
Right. Now, can I mention why glycemic index is imperfect and not always the best tool?
Absolutely.
Okay. So glycemic index is not necessarily based, it's not based on commonly consumed portions of food. So what it's led to in certain situations are diabetics or people with blood sugar issues being told not to eat foods that are very healthy and, in my opinion, would be very helpful for them to consume on a regular basis.
Can you give us an example?
I can.
Okay.
So the glycemic index was calculated based on a portion size to get 50 grams of usable carbohydrates from the food, okay? So it's very specific to how much carbs that particular food has. So here's the example. Carrots contain only about 7% carbohydrates. So the test portion of carrots eaten by the subject would be about 1.5 pounds, whereas a serving size of a food like bread that contains a higher percentage of carbs would be much smaller. So what happens is that the GI of carrots or some fruits like pineapple and watermelon and things like that, beets, these things can come out to be much higher on the glycemic index than we would expect, and can lead practitioners, when they're just basically looking at numbers and ranges, to say you don't want to eat any food that has a glycemic index higher than this without taking in taking into account the serving size of the food, right? So glycemic load came along, and the idea was glycemic load would be the application of that glycemic index, which is so important, to a standard serving of food. And so therefore, the glycemic load actually takes into account the amount of carbohydrate in a serving of that food. So if we go back to my carrot example, a carrot, a large carrot, right, and a carrot and a cup of spaghetti have similar glycemic index numbers. However, a serving of carrot contains only about 5 grams of carbs, and a serving of the spaghetti contains about 38 grams of carbs. If you put that to the glycemic load, that gives the carrots a very low glycemic load of 2 and spaghetti a medium glycemic load of 16. So it differentiates better between the food, and suddenly things like carrots and some of those fruits look healthy to eat, which they are, and which anybody with diabetes or blood sugar issues should be eating.
That's a great example. Thank you for bringing that up, because it's really important to make sure you understand how these things relate to what you're doing on a day-to-day basis. Because, you know, we see it all the time in our practices, I'm sure you do as well, where people who are even diagnosed with a type 2 diabetes situation come in and they're being told what kind of carbohydrates it's okay for them to consume. And it's based on a number of carbohydrates. And I've seen a lot of instances where not even the glycemic index is taken into account. It's just you get to consume X amount of carbohydrates, and it's up to the person to decide what carbohydrates they want to consume, whether it comes from whole grain bread or whether it comes from corn chips or whether it comes from rice or wherever it comes from. They can decide, as long as they're measuring the amount of carbohydrates they're consuming. But it's not taking into account, number one, the glycemic index, and definitely not the glycemic load. So somebody might, let's say, be getting X amount of carbohydrates from a corn chip. If that has a, you know, very high glycemic index and glycemic load, it's going to be spiking their blood sugar and putting more stress and strain on this whole insulin response and insulin sensitivity pathway, versus if they were getting those carbohydrates from something that was whole grain, meaning it contained the fiber, so that the glycemic index was much lower. And the other issue is, some people, if you're not closely monitoring your blood sugar and understanding what's going on with your body, and I mean, I'd like you to speak to this as well, Dr. Shani, I mean, I've seen people where they maybe can have a corn chip and it spikes their blood sugar like crazy, but like a rice something doesn't, or a whole wheat something doesn't. Whereas another person, they may not be as reactive to corn. So it's almost like individual food sensitivities and the way individual people's bodies actually break down and deal with certain different species of foods can have an effect on what that does to their blood sugar.
For sure. And I think, you know, this is where the realm of integrative medicine, naturopathic medicine, really comes into play, because that's when you're going to get a practitioner who's looking at, you know, how are you breaking down and absorbing your food, who's going to look at whether you might have delayed response food allergies or food sensitivities right. that are contributing to the issue. And also, you know, it's just, it's such a minimalist way of looking at nutrition for diabetics, right? It's like, you can have this many number of carbs. I mean, nobody's talking to them about the importance of good quality fat, the importance of regular protein, or just the importance of the vitamins and minerals that are in different foods and how that affects their blood sugar regulation, because, you know, all of those things come into play. So, you know, just saying, you know, this is how many carbs you get them from wherever you want. I mean, you know, and one level it's, I get it, but on the other, it's like a much better way to go about that would be to look at nutrition from a more holistic perspective, because it's more than just the carbohydrate.
Absolutely. And it makes a huge difference. When we come back from the break, we're going to be talking, I'd like Dr. Shani to talk a little bit about what's going on with fats in the diet, because the different types of fats we consume, also research is showing, has a huge implication on this process of insulin resistance and how our cells respond to insulin. We're also going to be talking about other nutrients that can help deal with type 2 diabetes and improve insulin resistance, and talking about some other lifestyle habits worth considering. So this is Dr. Kevin Pacero with the Essentials of Healthy Living here on AM 1500 Federal News Radio. Don't go anywhere. We're going to be back right after this break.
Megafood premium whole food supplements are the only supplements crafted from scratch with farm fresh whole foods to deliver nourishment the way nature intended. Megafood believes Mother Nature knows best. They select only fresh whole food, harvested at the peak of ripeness, handle it gently and with care to deliver its vital essence to you in every bottle. Megafood, from farm to tablet. Our name is our promise. For more information, visit us online at megafood.com.
Zymogen is pleased to announce the arrival of Fit Food, a delicious, high-quality, functional food that's formulated to support weight management, healthy body composition, glycemic management, cardiovascular and immune health, and more. Each delicious serving of Fit Food contains 21 grams of pure New Zealand-sourced bioactive whey protein, 6 grams of fiber immune-supporting oat beta-glucan, and additional glutamine, glycine, taurine, and MCTs. Fit Food provides holistic support for today's active body. Learn more at Zymogen.com. Available now through your healthcare professional and Village Green Apothecary.
All over the world, people are beginning to discover fish oil is one of the best secrets for unlocking great health. Thousands of studies have shown the amazing effects of these powerful omega-3s for heart health. Plus, fish oils have even been shown to balance moods and lessen anxiety. With exceptional taste, unrivaled freshness, and unsurpassed purity, Nordic Naturals is the easy way to get your omega-3s every day. To learn more, visit Village Green Apothecary or visit NordicNaturals.com. Nordic Naturals, committed to the planet, committed to pure and great-tasting omega oils.
The brain requires nutrition just like the rest of the body, and this is where Gero Formula's NeuroOptimizer comes to the rescue. NeuroOptimizer is a concentrated source of nutrients needed for memory, mood, concentration, and focus. NeuroOptimizer supplies the building blocks for neurotransmitters, the chemicals that allow cells in the brain to communicate and to file away memories. NeuroOptimizer is the nutritional answer to the brain's needs. To learn more about formulas, visit Gero.com. Gero Formulas, available at Village Green Apothecary.
Do you have unique needs that a mass market pharmacy can't handle? Village Green Apothecary can help. Maybe your doctor prescribed a special compounded formula for you, or you have concerns about allergies or dietary supplements. We invite you to talk with one of our compounding specialists today. Our team of 50 includes pharmacists, nutritionists, a clinical herbalist, and a naturopath offering customized products and personalized healthy living plans to ensure your well-being. Visit Village Green in Bethesda at 5415 West Cedar Lane. Call us at 301-530-0800 or check out our website at myvillagegreen.com.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Essentials of Healthy Living here on AM 1500 Federal News Radio, brought to you by the Village Green Apothecary. We're here every Sunday from 10 to 11 a.m., bringing you a host of topics related to health and wellness every single week. We've been doing this for over 3 years, myself and my wonderful co-host, Dana Lake. She is a brilliant woman, always bringing so much great information to the air. So don't forget to tune into her show next week, and I'll be back the following week. You can always listen to our previously recorded shows by going to www.myvillagegreen.com and on the right-hand side, clicking on the little radio show microphone, and you can download all of our previously recorded shows for absolutely free. Today, we've been discussing the conversation of diabetes. We've talked about the difference between type 1 and type 2 diabetes, and we've been laying down some of the fundamental groundwork and understanding why people are susceptible to getting particularly this insulin resistance or type 2 diabetes, which is really the main culprit in our culture when you hear statistics like diabetes rates are skyrocketing among adults and children. I have on the phone with me today a wonderful special guest. She is a fellow naturopathic doctor, Dr. Amay Shunney, and she is a dynamic educator. She's a radio show host, and I encourage you all to check out her radio show. Podcasts are available at greenteaandhoneyradio.com. You can also check out the amazing cleanse that she put together with a chef. So it's a 28-day cleanse that she co-created with a chef so that she wanted to make sure that you had access to amazing food during your cleanse. Because let's face it, anyone out there who's done a cleanse, palatability and enjoying your food and being so excited about what you're going to eat is not what a cleanse is about. Usually a cleanse is about sacrifice to gain some sort of health benefit. Right. So I think it's a great concept, Dr. Shunney, of pairing up with the chef to really develop a wonderful program. And you can learn more about that by going to www.cleanseorganic.com. I just want to do go ahead.
I was just going to say that if you go to that website, on the right-hand side, there's a little box that says A Taste of Cleanse Organic, and there's actually 3 days' worth of Jenny's recipes up there, so that you don't have to just blindly go in and buy this thing, that you can actually taste the food that you would be eating while you cleanse. And I mean, the food is so amazing, because the point of the program is not just to cleanse, but to actually teach you the skills so that you can continue to make healthy dietary choices choices and move towards optimal health long term. And, you know, to do that, we have to get you cooking and loving your food. So it's a free way to actually taste what you would be eating on the program.
Right. So let's face it. I mean, cleanses sometimes are a little bit more restrictive, but the reality is that the way you eat on a cleanse, a lot of the things you're eliminating from your life are sugars and refined carbohydrates. You're, you know, eliminating alcohol. You're eliminating coffee. You're identifying food allergies. These are not the reason why you feel good on a cleanse is because when you do those things, it's good for your body. And in reality, you should try and set up some sort of lifestyle so that you're eating that way most of the time. And this relates exactly to the conversation we're having today on type 2 diabetes, because it's all related to this aspect of good fats versus bad fats, which is clearly addressed in any good cleanse, and I'm sure clearly addressed in the Cleanse Organic program, as well as dealing with low glycemic load and high glycemic load and eating a healthy diet. You're going to be eating foods with a low glycemic load, a low glycemic index, with healthy fats and good quality nutrients, which is exactly how you should be eating. So I'm sure that if somebody out there is struggling with a type 2 diabetes type issue, whether they're borderline or diagnosed with metabolic syndrome, which is sort of like a precursor to type 2 diabetes, or have the full-blown condition, a great way for them to start would be to do the 28-day Cleanse Organic program, right?
And it's because it's really like a boot camp in the sense that it's really teaching you how to shop, cook, you know, eat and enjoy healthy food long term. And sometimes when you've got a whole bunch of big changes that you need to make at once, it can just feel so overwhelming that, you know, you just end up doing nothing. You just end up being paralyzed. I don't know if anybody else out there has ever felt that way, you know. So in this regard, especially when it comes to the food you're eating, where we have emotional issues about what we eat, and, you know, to have a structured program can be really essential. And to that end, we've actually included individualized support in the program. So when you sign up for the program, in addition to, you know, the book and the recipes and the meal plans and the supplements, which are very minimal, by the way, it's really a whole foods program, you also get 4 30-minute one-on-one coaching sessions with a certified Cleanse Organic coach, so that somebody is really walking you through it and holding your hand in whatever way you needed help.
Well, that's great. Great job in developing such a great program.
Thank you.
Yeah, so we're going to start talking about healthy fats and the role that fats and protein have in this whole process of type 2 diabetes. But before I do that, I just want to make one more quick mention that I myself am a naturopathic doctor, and Dr. Shunney on the phone with me is also a naturopathic doctor. We have graduated from naturopathic medical schools that have been accredited by the U.S. Department of Education, and we have a wonderful scope of practice in most states. And we are trying to expand the scope of practice right now in the state of Maryland. And anybody who's listening right now who lives in the state of Maryland who would like to have easier, more access to naturopathic doctors, these are highly qualified, highly trained doctors that have been trained to be specialists in the field of integrative and natural medicine. We are truly the most well-educated doctors doing integrative and holistic medicine in this country. And it is a shame that we are not nationally licensed like all other types of health professions out there right now. We meet all of the same training standards, all of the same practice standards, all of the same accountability standards that any healthcare provider would be held to. Right now, we are in this legislative session pushing for legislation in the state of Maryland so that you residents of Maryland can have access to naturopathic doctors just like you have access to your regular doctors. So if you're interested in supporting the cause to license naturopathic doctors in the state of Maryland, I really encourage you to go to the Maryland Association of Naturopathic Physicians homepage, which is www.mdamp.org. So that's www.mdamp.org. And I am the president of the state association and would be happy to field any specific questions you have by sending them to that email, or you can send them to my personal email at drpassero@gmail.com. So thank you for listening. Now, Dr. Shunney, talk to us about proteins and fats and how it relates to type 2 diabetes.
Okay, well, I suppose that on maybe the most simple level, one of the ways that proteins and fat are essential in diabetes is that they are going to attenuate that glycemic response. So when we were discussing earlier the glycemic index, and Dr. Passero asked me to elaborate on, you know, why you want a lower number instead of a higher number, and we want those lower numbers because it takes longer for that glucose insulin spike to occur. So you get a longer, more sustained source of energy, and you also have less of a glucose-insulin roller coaster to deal with. And the way that that happens is when that carbohydrate is taken in with some protein or some fat or some fiber. All of those things attenuate or lengthen that glycemic response. So in a diabetes discussion, that is the most simple way that they are important. Obviously, there are a multitude of ways that protein and fat come into play. I mean, I find with my patients that one of the most common things I see is that people simply do not get enough protein. Protein is essential for energy. It's essential for brain function. It's essential for muscle mass and proper body composition. It's essential during cleansing, by the way, too. So it's a huge part of Cleanse Organic, making sure that people are getting adequate protein. In regards to fat, though, fat's interesting because it actually can affect insulin signaling. When we have an excess of fat in storage, we have a dampening of insulin signaling, which can exacerbate and even cause insulin resistance, which can lead to diabetes. So, I mean, fat is a structural component for every cell membrane of every cell in your body. Your brain is 60% fat. Fat plays a huge role in the body's inflammatory response, which Dr. Becerra was talking about earlier, saturated and trans fats, and omega-6 fats, which I'll talk about in a moment. They can push the body to produce pro-inflammatory chemicals, and healthier fats like omega-3 fats have anti-inflammatory effects. I'm going to go back to that in a minute. And then, like I said, you know, having good quality fat is what's going to make you feel satisfied when you eat something. So it kind of helps you shut off that need to eat. Okay, I'm satisfied. I'm done. You can push that plate away. It really helps with portion control. When we go into this no-fat, fat-free, low-fat area, a lot of times people just end up eating more carbohydrates because they never feel satisfied. You know, that's a big problem.
Yeah, it's absolutely a big problem. And, you know, most people don't get the good quality fats. And this part of what you spoke to with protein is so entirely true. Most people don't realize how important it is. Now, I have people come to me all the time, and I'm sure, Dr. Shunder, you have the same thing. They're conscious of what they put in their bodies, and they are eating what they would think is a healthy diet. So every single person that comes in to see me, we always have the conversation where they do a diet diary. They do a little log where they write down what they eat for breakfast, lunch, and dinner, right? So we always go through, tell me what you eat for breakfast. Right. And usually I hear, oh, I eat very, very healthy, Dr. Becerra. Every morning for breakfast, I have a banana. Right.
Yep.
And, you know, sure, a banana is fruit and it does have some fiber and it has some potassium and it is, you know, natural. At least they're not eating a bowl of high sugar cereal or a donut or something that's really, you know, sugary and bad for you. But the reality is a banana is all sugars. There's no fat or there's no protein. And what Dr. Shunney was alluding to was that when you combine a carbohydrate, specifically one that has like a high glycemic index or a high glycemic load like a banana, with a good quality fat or protein, you slow the release of the sugar into the bloodstream. And that's important because then that reduces the response of insulin. And so you have lower insulin release, which means your cells stay more sensitive to the insulin. And so banana is okay for breakfast, but only if you've had maybe, you know, a healthy omelet with some vegetables before you had it, or you're combining it with some other good quality fat or protein to offset the effects of those carbohydrates. So the protein conversation is incredibly important. And I think, Dr. Shunney, you will agree with me in that where people oftentimes fall the shortest with their protein consumption is breakfast. That's usually where I'm struggling, or not struggling, but really coaching people in understanding how important protein is. And this is for adults, and particularly I see this all the time in kids. Poor
sure.
kids, they wake up in the morning, they hardly get anything put in their body. If they do, it's sugary cereals, it's waffles, it's standard breakfast food because, hey, let's face it, that's what they're being shown they should eat on TV, and that's what sort of tastes good. And then they're shuttled off to school where they have to supposedly sit still and concentrate and focus for like 6-7 hours. There's
right.
no way that a kid's going to be able to do that if they are having blood sugar spikes and blood sugar crashes. Your brain cannot function if your blood sugar levels are too high in a blood sugar spike, and it cannot function well if your blood sugar is too low. And that's exactly where they're going to be if they eat that kind of breakfast. They're going to get a blood sugar spike and then a blood sugar crash. So, Dr. Shunney, we've been going so much, we're sort of running short on time. I'm going to take a quick break. When we come back, I really want you to explain some of the differences between these good quality fats and bad quality fats, because these omega-3 polyunsaturated fatty acids from fish oil play a huge role and are potentially a huge key in the manifestation of insulin resistance. And I want to talk to you about that because it's a really, really important topic. So don't go anywhere. This is Dr. Kevin Pacero with the Essentials of Healthy Living here on AM 1500. And we're going to be back right after this break.
The moment you feel achy or run down, nip flu-like symptoms in the bud with Boron's Acylococcinum. Clinical studies show that Acylo, when taken at first signs of flu, reduces the duration and severity of flu-like symptoms such as headache, body aches, chills, and fever. For 65 years, families throughout the world have relied on Acylo. It works safely and naturally without causing side effects like drowsiness or interacting with other medications. Keep Acylo on hand and feel like yourself again. Acylo is available at Village Green Apothecary in Bethesda. Visit Acylo on the web at Acylo.com.
New from Garden of Life, Vitamin Code Raw Multivitamins. That's right, raw. Made with the highest quality standards to preserve raw nutrients, uncooked, untreated, unadulterated. They are binder-free with no fructose, maltodextrin, magnesium stearate, or cornstarch. With live enzymes and probiotics, Vitamin Code Raw Multivitamins from Garden of Life. Go beyond vitamins and minerals. Get the code, Vitamin Code. Now available at Village Green Apothecary and online at myvillagegreen.com.
Wondering how to turn your bedroom into a hothouse? The answer is Hot Plants, the natural herbal way to make sex fun, vibrant, and satisfying. Two unique formulas, one for him and one for her, were developed by Chris Kilham, the medicine hunter. Chris's book, Hot Plants, features these exciting products from enzymatic therapy. Hot Plants, from the science of enzymatic therapy, now available at Village Green Apothecary and online at myvillagegreen.com.
Some things are hard to stomach, and life doesn't stop for occasional immune challenges or intestinal distress. Probilarty from Metagenics offers a new, targeted probiotic approach for intestinal support. Help maintain control while traveling or as a follow-up to antibiotic therapy to support intestinal flora for healthy intestinal function. Probilarty provides ID-certified probiotic strains suggested by research to enhance certain aspects of immune function in addition to promoting a healthy balance of intestinal microflora. Probilarty is the go-to probiotic for patients on the go. Get it today. Available through your healthcare professional and Village Green Apothecary.
Have you ever wondered why the cold and flu season occurs in the fall and winter months? One theory is because of a decrease in sun exposure, our bodies don't make enough vitamin D, which is essential to proper immune function. That's why medical experts recommend supplementing with vitamin D. Thorn Research's vitamin D products are made from pure vitamin D, with no preservatives or unnecessary ingredients added. Support your immune system with Thorn's vitamin D1000 and D5000. These and other immune-supporting formulas are always available at Village Green.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Essentials of Healthy Living here on AM 1500 Federal News Radio, brought to you by the Village Green Apothecary. We're here every Sunday from 10 to 11 a.m., so remember to tune in every single week for a great show on health and wellness. Today has been no exception. I've had Dr. Amay Shunney on the phone with me today. She's a naturopathic doctor and an educator. She has her own radio show at you can listen to podcasts by going to www.greenteaandhoneyradio.com. If you're just tuning into this show, you can listen to it in its entirety by going to www.myvillagegreen.com and clicking on the archive show section. Today we've been talking about diabetes, and more specifically type 2 diabetes, because that's the one that is really so treatable with more lifestyle-related interventions. Type 1 diabetes, as we explained at the beginning of the show, is more of an issue of the body has lost its ability to produce insulin because the cells in the pancreas that make them, called the beta cells, have been destroyed, usually by an autoimmune response. So those people need to be very careful about their diet and what they eat and lifestyle, but they're going to be dependent on insulin for the rest of their lives. The type 2 diabetes situation, this insulin resistance that we've been talking about, is far more amenable to being reversed, totally reversed in a lot of situations through lifestyle and diet modifications. So, you know, we're talking about diet. We've been talking about glycemic index, glycemic load, balancing fat and carbohydrates. But I want to talk about, before we're, you know, we have to wrap up the show today, is this aspect of like good fats versus bad fats. And we know it relates, Dr. Shunney, a lot of people have heard of it related to inflammation story, related to neurological and brain function and lots of other conditions, but we're really seeing a lot of convincing research regarding these good fats and bad fats and how it relates to this process of insulin resistance. And maybe you can sort of explain the good fat, bad fat difference and, you know, share any thoughts you have on how it relates to this specific condition.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think of it as the fact that the tissue is the issue, okay? So it's what is in our tissue, and that can really affect how the body responds in certain situations. And in the blood sugar insulin resistance category, this is particularly important. Now, if the tissue is the issue, how do we determine what's in the tissue? Well, that's what we eat, right? And so the fats that we eat make up the cell membranes of every single cell in our body. And based on the ratio of the different fats in those cell membranes, what's in each of those cell membranes is what is going to impact function. And in this particular case, omega-6s and omega-3s, the ratio of those is going to really affect if your body is responding to insulin levels well or not. So omega-6s, omega-3s and omega-6s are both essential fats, which means we don't make them. We have to get them from our food. Omega-6s come from vegetable oils, come from meat, and come from dairy. Most Americans have no problem getting plenty of omega-6s. Omega-3s come from fish and fish oil, and a shorter chain version of them, which you then have to convert, also comes from plant foods. So the ratio of omega-3s to omega-6 for most Americans is very skewed. Depending on who you read, we have up to 20 times more omega-6s than we need. So increasing omega-3s in the body is really important. Now, omega-6s will increase inflammation. They increase inflammatory chemicals in the body. And those high circulating inflammatory chemicals, they actually dampen the body's ability to monitor insulin production. Whereas getting plenty of omega-3s does the opposite. It actually increases all of those anti-inflammatory chemicals, prostaglandin 1, prostaglandin 3. It decreases some of those circulating inflammatory chemicals that omega-6s increase. So it decreases tumor necrosis factor, interleukin-6, C-reactive protein, some of you may have heard. There's far-reaching effects of having plenty of omega-3s in all of our cell membranes, high levels of omega-3 in our tissue, which is going to then affect function. And that, of course, comes in from your mouth. The way to do that, obviously increasing fish, if that's something that you eat. Taking a fish oil supplement can be an incredible way to buffer that. A lot of people have a hard time getting enough fish to make this happen. And then, of course, there's the whole flax, walnuts, hemp issue. All of those foods contain omega-3s, but we don't really convert the omega-3s in plant foods to the EPA and DHA that we need. EPA and DHA are actually the long-chain omega-3s that have all these effects that I'm speaking of. The best way to get adequate EPA and DHA for this kind of therapeutic effect is to get it from fish or from fish oil.
Yeah, absolutely. And this whole concept of fats is so important because, as Dr. Shoney was describing, our cell membranes need to have fat in them. It's part of their structure. And your body will take whatever fat you're bringing in and incorporate it into the cell membrane. So we see that diets really high in saturated fats from animals or trans fats, which are those artificial hydrogenated fats, if those are the only fats you're consuming, those are the fats your body will take in and will incorporate into cell membrane. Now, those fats are very stiff and very rigid and make it difficult for the cell membrane to have a certain level of fluidity, which it needs. Now, your cell membrane houses all of the receptors that are signaling spots for hormones like insulin. So if you don't have a healthy membrane, you can't have a healthy ratio or a healthy activity of the receptors that are on that membrane. And one of the things that we see is when people are using omega-3 fatty acids, particularly from fish, the ones that have already been converted by the animal into EPA and DHA, not the ones from vegetable source, high level of intakes of that equal high level of incorporation of these good quality fats into your cell membrane. And what it results in is a very fluid cell membrane, and a very fluid cell membrane has the opportunity to have more receptors on it and to have better functioning receptors on that membrane. So it allows our bodies and our cells to interface with our hormones like insulin in a better way. So fish oils is incredibly important to the story of type 2 diabetes, and the research is really starting to prove that. So I think we're just about out of time. So Dr. Dr. Shunney, thank you so much for tuning in. If anybody wants to hear more of Dr. Shunney, please, please check out her radio show at www.greenteaandhoneyradio.com. Thank you for being with us today.
Ah, the joy of commuting in Washington. Whether you work on the Hill or outside of the Beltway, you know how stressful it is to get around. Stress can take a serious toll on your health, and Village Green Apothecary can help. We offer over 10,000 healthy living products, including top-quality nutritional supplements, herbal remedies, and more. Our nutritionists and pharmacists are here to advise you about creating your very own individualized healthy living plan. Visit Village Green Apothecary in Bethesda, 5415 West Cedar Lane, or check out our website at myvillagegreen.com.